BBC World Service, this is Ruth Alexander with The Inquiry. This week, how will a population boom change Africa? It's the year 2050 in Island Maternity Hospital in Lagos on the Nigerian coast. Doctors and nurses are rushing around tending to their patients. It's a busy day, but they're used to that. In one of the beds, a mother is peacefully cradling her newborn daughter. She's special, and not just to her mother. This tiny human has just become Nigeria's 400 millionth citizen. In just 35 years, the number of people living in this country has doubled. In fact, the population of the entire continent has doubled. This is the future envisaged by the United Nations. The growth in the number of Africans will be huge, quick, and inevitable, they say. So in this inquiry, we want to know, how will a population boom change Africa?
Part 1. The numbers.
Let's start by digging into the data. Our first expert witness is John Wilmoth, a people watcher on a global scale.
It gives you a certain perspective on the world. You see these grand trends of history through demography, birth and death and when people become married and when they move around the world. These most fundamental things, these individual acts come together into these collective trends which shape the world as a whole, and that is quite exciting to see that and understand how it works.
To give John his official title, he's the director of the Population Division of the United Nations, which has just updated its population projections.
Well, the current world population of around 7.3 billion is expected to increase to around 8.5 billion in 2030. Continuing to around 9.7 in 2050, and continuing from there, gradually slowing down, but continuing to increase probably through the end of the century, reaching around slightly more than 11 billion people.
We've been growing quickly for a while. There are more than three times as many people on the planet now as there were in 1930. But while fertility rates are falling in many parts of the world, they're not falling as fast in Africa. And that means
Africa is really driving a substantial portion of world population growth. In fact, we anticipate that more than half of the growth that will occur in the world as a whole between now and 2050 will occur in Africa.
So Africa is going to be the engine of the world's population growth.
The population is currently around 1.2 billion, and we anticipate 2.5 billion by the middle of the century.
We're quoting a lot of numbers. If you only remember one, make it this one. Africa's population is predicted to double in just 35 years, little more than a generation. Now that's an average figure for the continent. The numbers suggest 28 countries will see their populations double. Some will see their populations triple by the end of the century. A handful will see their populations rise by at least fivefold. Angola, Burundi, Malawi, Mali, and Niger, Somalia, Uganda, Tanzania, and Zambia. It's a problem for these governments, but one born out of success.
There has been a substantial reduction in the death rate in Africa, like in other parts of the world, and this is good news in many ways, that children survive in much greater numbers to adulthood, and adults survive to old age. However, what's preventing that kind of movement in a similar direction to what's happened in the rest of the world is our continued levels of high fertility.
A fertility rate of around two children per woman means a population will stay the same size. Two parents have two children, effectively creating a replacement for themselves. Africa's average fertility rate is just under five children per woman. That means the next generation will be a bit more than double the size of the last. The fertility rate is falling. But even if it dropped sharply, Africa would still see rapid population expansion. There are already a lot of young people living there, and they'll go on to have families. And all this means there won't just be many more people living in Africa. These high numbers will lead to a population imbalance.
You always have three things together. You have high fertility, rapid growth, and young populations. Those all go together. You know, when fertility is high, the population is growing, and you're getting larger and larger cohorts of children every year, and therefore you have an age distribution that's skewed toward the younger ages. Currently in Africa, we estimate that 41% of the population is under the age of 15. This is a very high fraction. Another 19% are between ages 15 and 24. So if you add those two together, you've got 60% of the population, or three-fifths of the population, that is under the age of 25.
That is incredible.
It is incredible.
Much of the rest of the world is figuring out how to deal with an aging population. Political leaders in Europe, America, and Australia might wish they had a baby boom to manage. But you can have too much of a good thing.
We really need political will at the highest levels, paying attention to this issue, because it really will affect the ability of those countries to raise the standard of living for their populations, and it will have long-term implications for the well-being of that part of the world and the rest of the world as well.
A population boom is going to change Africa, there's no doubt. Even if fertility rates fell dramatically, the population would still grow enormously. Already a young continent, it's going to become even younger. And the countries which are going to be seeing the biggest growth are some of the world's poorest. What will life be like? Africa is a large and diverse continent. We couldn't look at 54 countries in one programme. So we're going to focus now on the one with the biggest current population, Nigeria.
Part 2. Traffic jam in Abuja.
I didn't really estimate properly the traffic and how long it would take me to get here.
Having just moved back to Abuja, Nigeria's capital, after 5 years away in Brussels, our next expert witness was late for our interview.
The number of cars have virtually tripled.
Obadiah Melafia's the former deputy governor of the Central Bank of Nigeria and former advisor to the president. As Africa's most populous country, Nigeria is at the centre of the continent's population boom. It's already home to 180 million people. It's forecast to have four times as many by the end of the century.
If you go to many of our cities these days, they're much more crowded than ever. So, you know, huge challenges deriving from population increase. And it is quite palpable. You know, you could see it not only in heavy traffic, but also pressure on social services, you know, like water, electricity, schools, and the rest of it.
But the pressure is only going to increase. Nigeria is expected to overtake the United States to become the third largest population in the world by 2050, behind only India and China.
You know, from an economist point of view, it's often the case that increase in population is synonymous with increase in GDP, because you have more labor force, more consumption, more spending. So it tends to be reflected in overall rise in GDP. But you and I know that in this day and age, quantitative growth is not enough. It's not the ultimate indicator of a better condition for citizens.
In other words, it doesn't matter how much money your economy generates overall, if by the time the wealth is shared out among your huge population, it amounts to a very small sum per person. Nigeria is Africa's largest economy. It overtook South Africa last year. But its population is three times larger. And another problem is that the money isn't shared out equally.
The gap between the rich and the poor in Nigeria has continued to grow to a very worrisome level. I remember a leader complaining the other day that why do they say we are poor when our airspaces are struggling to contain the rising number of private jets? Would you believe it? In some of our biggest airports, there's now pressure on space for parking of private jets. And yet, you know, the streets are booming with poor people. People hustling in the streets because they have no opportunities and no hope for the future.
If life is this hard for so many in Nigeria now, what's it going to be like when twice as many people live there? Obadiah Melafia is concerned this isn't a question the political elite have been asking themselves.
My worry is the fact that we are not making arrangements to cater for this rising population. There's no country in the world that I know of that has over 70 million people that does not also have a flourishing rail network. The roads are cluttered up with heavy trucks and also expanding social services like health, education, and the rest of it. All these things need to be in place together with better planning for population and for families.
It's not a small task for even a large African economy like Nigeria. But if the government doesn't improve the opportunities for the many millions of young people who'll be living there in the next few decades, Obadiah Melafia warns the consequences could be serious.
We must create jobs, we must expand opportunities for young people and get them, you know, engaged and busy. Otherwise, we might find that the sort of thing that happened in the Arab Spring could happen in Nigeria.
Nigeria has a new president, Muhammadu Buhari, who's vowed to crack down on corruption. He's making the right noises, Obadiah Melafia says, but these are complex issues. So those are the dangers facing the country in Africa with the largest population. Without better transport networks, adequate health and education systems, and greater equality, its fast-growing young population could become deeply frustrated. Now, having zoomed in on Nigeria, let's zoom out to look at the big picture. Because our next expert witness says history reveals reasons to be more hopeful.
Part 3. Get rich quick.
I lived and worked in Mozambique as a doctor, my wife and I. And then we came back after 30 years and we had the secret idea to buy a piece of land at that beach that we liked so much. We couldn't afford it.
You can hear our next expert witness is a man of great energy. He's a professor of international health in Sweden, but he's become famous through what he can do with statistics. At his website, Gapminder, Hans Rosling takes data out of spreadsheets and brings it to life on the screen. His sweeping view of health statistics over the centuries captures big and otherwise barely perceptible trends.
What is difficult for the surrounding world is to realize that Africa will become a much more important part of the world. And I see that because so many big investments banks invite me to come and lecture. Because they see, wow, there's economic growth in Africa. Wow, companies in Africa are profitable today. They are seeing customers. Think about menstruation pads for women and girls. You know, teenage girls in Africa need good menstruation pads because they don't have that toilet where they can change during the day in their secondary school. So they need the pad that lasts the whole day. And that's a business opportunity that serious companies seize. And then they produce some with sufficient quality, as low price as possible, and suddenly they get many customers. So this is what I see. The pure number of Africa makes it interesting for foreign investment.
So a large population can be a positive thing. It makes you an attractive prospect for those who have serious money to spend. But Hans Rosling has another reason to be relaxed about Africa's rapid population growth. We've seen it all before.
The reason population is growing in Africa is the same reason that made population grow first in Europe, then in the Americas, and then in Asia. It's when a population go from a phase where you have many children born and many who are dying. And then the death rates go down and thereafter the birth rate follows down.
So which period of time should we be comparing this to?
We have a possibility that Africa will repeat what Asia did, a very fast transformation, where once you had education, you had child survival, parents saw the options of a better life for their children, they will choose to have two or three. And that is happening in Africa. In fact, it's already happening among the better off in Africa. Addis Ababa, a major city in Africa, have 1.6 children per woman, less than London. So when you hear an average of Africa of 4.5 children per woman, that is composed by the most modern part of Africa with 2 children per woman and the still worst of very extreme poverty with 6 to 7. You know, it's a disparity within Africa in this transition.
To effect this change, you need a country's leaders to see what's wrong and how to fix it. Do they?
I can see government after government in Africa getting it. Leading, I would say, as presently we see Ethiopia, Rwanda, Ghana doing the right things. And others are coming fast.
These countries are bringing down fertility rates, he says, by encouraging the use of contraceptives. People say high fertility rates cause poverty. But Hans Rosling says you have to look at this problem the other way around. It's poverty that leads to high fertility rates.
If you continue to have extreme poverty areas where women give birth to 6 children and population double in one generation, then you will have problem. But it's not the population growth that is the problem, it's the extreme poverty, it's the underlying reason.
The population boom is unavoidable, he says. It's inevitable. But it doesn't have to be a problem. The key is for African leaders and development bodies to work to reduce fertility rates. That way, Africa will still have a large population of young people, but they'll go on to have fewer children and will grow wealthier as they have fewer mouths to feed. In turn, their children will do better, and so development continues. But there's another way a population boom will change Africa, and this gets much less attention.
Part 4. Live long and prosper?
Demographers and many of the people we've spoken to for this programme are focused on Africa's fast-growing youth population. But our final expert witness says we need to think about the old too.
Africa is a young continent. It will remain the youngest region worldwide. However, there are already a considerable number of older people here in Africa and in sub-Saharan Africa specifically, roughly the size of Northern Europe.
Isabella Abaderin, half Nigerian, half German, has lived in Lagos and is now in Kenya, where she's a senior research scientist at the African Population Health Research Centre in Nairobi.
And the other thing is that the number of older people is going to grow more rapidly in sub-Saharan Africa than in any other place on this globe.
There are two things going on here. Life expectancy at birth has been increasing more rapidly than elsewhere, and life expectancy in older age is on the rise too.
It's the increased survival among those who have passed the perils of youth and young adulthood. So once you have reached age 60, you still have an expectation of living 16 to 18 years longer in sub-Saharan Africa. And that's actually not that much different than in other parts of the world. So it's the life expectancy at 60 that's already considerable. And it's the youth bulge that Africa is now experiencing that is going to age. So all these children and youth that you have now, in the next 3, 4, 5 decades, they will have reached older age. And there's a real need to prepare societies for that.
In 35 years' time, the older population will be much, much larger than it is today. And the elderly won't necessarily be able to rely on the support of their families.
Because the resources are constrained, the middle generation has to weigh up often between investments in children's education and investments in supporting older parents. And in these kinds of situations, priority is usually given to the younger generations.
Countries need to follow South Africa's example, she says, setting up pension and social protection programs. The problem is, this would take a big change in attitudes.
At the moment, there is very little, if any, focus on the older population. There appears to be an assumption, mostly implicit, that the older population is unproductive, has nothing more to offer, and is strategically irrelevant. And I think this is something that one needs to challenge and needs to look at very carefully.
Because this thinking is a missed opportunity, she says. Not only is the growing older population going to be a product of today's massive youth population, they could be part of a solution too.
It's not a zero-sum game. It's not about investing in older people takes resources away from the youth. It's rather seeing that they are linked. Investing in older people today means enhancing their capacity to contribute to the empowerment and the education and the employment opportunities of youth today.
She points to literacy projects in countries like the US, where older people go into schools to help young people with their reading. There's nothing like this in a country like Kenya, she says, but there could be. Bridging the generational gap would help both the young and old. It's a neat idea, but is it feasible?
Thinking about the older generation in many ways resonates with traditional African concepts of respect for elders.
There's kind of a cultural resonance there.
A cultural resonance, that's exactly it. So that's one good thing.
So how will a population boom change Africa? It's going to become even younger, but at the same time, the number of old people is going to grow sharply. Both groups need to be planned for. If governments fail to plan properly, there's a risk that hundreds of millions of young people will not be educated, will not have their health cared for, will not be empowered, will be discontent. Africa could be destabilised. But if education and healthcare are improved, if fertility rates fall, there's a real possibility that Africa could reap a demographic dividend from its population boom. The large number of young people could become a powerful workforce, an engine of economic growth and development, with fewer people dependent on them in the future. And what would this mean for the rest of the world? Hans Rosling.
The center economically and demographically of the world is moving from North Atlantic and Britain, is moving down to somewhere between Africa and Asia. The Indian Ocean will be the big trade place.
There will be problems along the way, but the coming population boom might just change Africa for the better.
This inquiry was presented by Ruth Alexander and produced in London by Katie Inman and Hannah Moore. It was mixed by Graham Puttyfoot. The production coordinator is Janet Staples, and the editor is Richard Knight. You can listen to our program, How Has Rwanda Saved the Lives of 590,000 Children, on our website. And if you have a question you think we should be asking, demand an inquiry on the World Service Facebook page or on Twitter. We're at BBC The Inquiry.